I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
A little breaking news here this afternoon, although this has been kind of bubbling underneath the surface. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm digesting this. I don't know all the implications, but the St. Louis Cardinals and eight other baseball teams that are televised by FanDuel Sports Midwest, well, we have FanDuel Sports Midwest, it's not always Midwest, but the FanDuel Sports Network, have terminated their contracts with FanDuel and Main Street Sports. That's the parent company. So this was reported, I think, a few weeks ago, but Main Street missed a payment to the Cardinals. They owed the Cardinals some money, and apparently they've now missed a payment to some other teams.
Uh-oh.
So The Athletic, who is breaking this story and reporting on it, says the termination of the deals does not preclude those teams. Atlanta, Cincinnati, Detroit, Kansas City, Los Angeles, Miami Marlins, Brewers, Cardinals, Tampa Bay Rays, from returning or renegotiating an agreement. When Main Street was in bankruptcy from 23 to 25, deals were terminated but ultimately reworked. And what Rob Manfred has said is our focus is, particularly given the point in the calendars, to maximize the revenue that's available. They said that they're in a position to take over the broadcast of any team if needed, and the goal is to maximize revenue. So that's kind of a little tricky situation that, again, has been bubbling underneath the surface. I don't think in the end it's going to mean that we can't see St. Louis Cardinals games, but I, for one, was thrilled when they made this whole product available
right
on Prime, because I had to subscribe to Fubo just to see the Cardinals and the Blues. So, but there have been financial problems with Main Street, so
yeah,
that's one of the things they're trying to figure out. Okay, hey, Chris Klemm is back with us this afternoon. He was a Border Patrol agent in the Yuma sector. He's been a great guest on these immigration issues. We wanted him to weigh in on what happened in Minneapolis. First of all, Happy New Year, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Happy New Year. And, man, I'm doing great. You know why? I didn't try to impede an ICE officer from doing their job today. So I'm alive. I'm healthy. I'm doing great.
Well, let's just start with that, because we can talk about the particulars of the action of the ICE officers, but this is a woman who had just dropped off her daughter at school, 6-year-old kid, and decides that her mission is then to park sideways in the middle of a snowy street in Minneapolis and wave through cars that are not ICE agents, but when ICE agents are there, to pull in front of them and to block their vehicles. She thought that that was going to end well. Now, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that she deserved to die, but her actions were directly responsible for this tragedy.
100%. And I got to tell you, look, not only was I a chief of the Border Patrol down in Yuma and a deputy chief in various sectors, I was a firearms instructor, a use of force instructor. I have done local and national use of force review boards. I've seen this stuff. I was an assistant chief over training and traumatic incidents. So I have watched and looked at these type of cases for a long, long time. And yeah, she made a decision to put herself in a situation that resulted in deadly force. It was it was the wrong decision, obviously. No one, and I can tell you this, anybody in my circle that knows me and people that I consider friends, especially former colleagues, none of us ever wanted to have to use deadly force or have to hurt somebody for doing our job. It was part of the job. We understood that. But the idea that there are people out there now that have been weaponized by radical leftists that are trying to disrupt immigration enforcement, and this poor woman felt like she was doing her part, and she was assaulting an agent. Any way you look at it, that she put that agent in harm's way, and he responded, and unfortunately we have a loss of life. But, you know, emotionally, yeah, it sucks to see something like that. But the facts are she bumped him, and he was under threat, and the courts are going to look at it from his point of view, not some YouTuber's point of view.
Don't you think that one of the key, you know, pieces of evidence here when it comes to the justification of deadly force is the fact that the first bullet went right through the windshield in the front. So because people have made the allegation that he was shooting in the side window, which I think maybe that did happen after the second or third shot, but he clearly was facing right at the car because he fired right through the windshield.
Well, yeah. So the first video and the one that Congress and everybody in Minnesota is flouting is the one with the agent that's trying to get the door open. The shooter was actually in front of the vehicle,
right.
coming to provide backup to his partner. And that's when that's why they were saying, oh, the wheels turn. Look, that gunshot wound around through the window shows exactly what that agent was doing. He was going after the threat, which was the driver of that vehicle. That's like the weapon. And that's what we're trained to do is we don't shoot tires. That's Hollywood. You shoot the threat, which is the person behind the wheel. She accelerates, she spun, she was going around, and his partner was engaged. This was a problem that shouldn't have happened, but it did. But looking at it, from what I've seen, and I have the same evidence you do, what I've seen and what's been reported. And, you know, it's horrible, it's tragic, but it's the fact of life when you get involved and you assault a law enforcement officer. These are kind of things that happen.
So I've had conflicting information on this today, and I'm just curious about if there's a policy. Does ICE typically, as standard practice, wear body cameras or not?
Well, you know, it depends on the situation. You know, you've got the body camera policy that I was familiar with and I helped write were Customs and Border Protection, which covered Border Patrol agents and the port officers and the air and marine officers. ICE does have certain tactical operations where they will wear that, but I am unclear if they are mandated by their operations policy, because most of the ICE officers we're seeing out there are enforcement removal operations guys. They work in the detention centers and then go out and do fugitive ops, and then the special agents, which aren't typically going to wear body cams. So I just don't have the answer to that. But all those Border Patrol agents that are there, they have their body cameras on, and they should be activated during that. And there'll probably be plenty of video there because there was, I think, Border Patrol agents on scene as well.
So when I was, I've been dabbling with CNN lately just to see what they're doing and covering this story. I'm driving home last night. I'm listening to the woman who actually shot the video that's been most circulated, right? And you can hear her cussing, "You shot my neighbor," what the F, all that stuff.
Yeah.
She was making a claim, which I haven't seen anyone else make, that the agents that were on site were not professional, were sloppy, didn't know what they were doing, didn't know procedure. This guy who did the shooting, he'd been an ICE agent for 10 years. Not only that, not that this should matter in this case, but and I saw the video today, he was dragged 300 feet by another migrant who was illegal in a stop 6 months ago and had to get 33 stitches.
Yeah, so you know, her opinion on their professionalism is her opinion. But you know what does matter in this case, and it is his experience. And it's his experience is that when you approach a vehicle in a hostile situation like they were in, and it accelerates, he's been dragged 300 feet. So that is going to weigh heavily on when you look at the totality of the circumstances, whether it's the precedents of Graham versus Connor or Tennessee versus Garner or the latest Felix versus Barnes. It's totality of circumstance
from the
officer's perception. So that does matter. Their professionalism, you know, again, you can only push somebody so far. If they've been hollering at them for an hour or however long they've been out there and they've been dealing with this, yeah, you know what? Occasionally there's going to be a curse word that comes out of an agent's mouth when they're trying to get things going. It just happens. It's life. We're grownups. But, yeah, that's just her opinion. And again, none of us wanted this to happen. But you didn't have to be Nostradamus to figure out that this was going to happen at some point, because of all the problems we've talked about for the last year.
But it's amazing the different interpretations. You know, I was mentioning CNN, so I'm driving in today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And J.D. Vance had his news conference. I don't know, did you see any of that, Chris? It was really good.
I read some of it. Yeah. I was busy on some other things, but I saw some of his comments online.
It was Carolyn was doing a briefing, and then she invited the vice president up, and he, you know, made a strong case. I do think, here's what I've said on the show today and yesterday, I think the administration, DHS, and maybe even the president, they've exaggerated a couple of the points. I don't personally believe that the woman was trying to run the officer over. That's irrelevant when it comes to deadly force, because she was maybe trying to get away, but she certainly could have run him over. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff here, and you have, let me play this because I'm sure you've heard it. The criticism on CNN is, well, J.D. Vance and Christie Noem, everyone's weighing in on this like we know all the evidence. In the meantime, the other side's doing the same damn thing. They're calling it murder.
This officer not only needs to be fired and suspended, he needs to be charged with murder.
What we saw today was a criminal murder a woman and shoot her in the head.
We have seen them terrorize so many of citizens in the 5th District and across Minnesota. And that has tragically led to this murder that we all watched on TV.
Chris, in our local paper, I don't get the home delivery, the actual paper, but the headline was Federal Officer Kills Motorist. Just a motorist.
Yeah.
Like the Maryland father situation. But how do you respond to the Democrats calling this murder?
Well, you know, again, it's a shame because that's part of the narrative about how bad ICE is and this administration's law enforcement wings are. I find it very irresponsible and downright, you know, hurtful to any chance of closing any division in this country. Because number one, they say that this guy's a murderer. He should be in jail. He should be behind bars. Yet they want full transparency and accountability and investigation. Well, they've come to a foregone conclusion. You know, I also find it interesting that, you know, in one sentence, Governor Walz says, get the feds out of here. We don't need you. But then now is begging to be part of the investigation.
I know.
You can't have your cake and eat it too, no. Governor Walz.
He wants it both ways.
You created some of this monster. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Chris, awesome to have you on. Happy New Year. I want to also personally thank you so much. I know you invited me to take that trip to the border a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get it together quick enough, but I really appreciate it. Maybe later this year we can, you know, hook up again. But thanks for the offer. I really do appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks for having me on and look forward to the next time.
All right, take care. Thank you. That's Chris Klemm. And I want to play a little bit of this J.D. Vance audio. I played it earlier in the show. He goes up there after Carolyn starts the briefing, immediately rips on CNN.
Somebody sent me a photo of a CNN headline about what happened in Minneapolis. And this is the headline. I'm just going to read it. Outrage after ICE officer kills U.S. citizen in Minneapolis. Well, that's one way to put it. And that is the way that many people in the corporate media have put this attack over the last 24 hours. And I say attack very, very intentionally, because this was an attack on federal law enforcement. This was an attack on law and order. This was an attack on the American people. The way that the media, by and large, has reported this story has been an absolute disgrace, and it puts our law enforcement officers at risk every single day.
Now, he pointed out what CNN left out. Same thing with the Post-Dispatch.
What that headline leaves out is the fact that that very ICE officer nearly had his life ended, dragged by a car 6 months ago, 33 stitches in his leg. So you think maybe he's a little bit sensitive about somebody ramming him with an automobile? What that headline leaves out is that that woman was there to interfere with a legitimate law enforcement operation in the United States of America. What that headline leaves out is that that woman is part of a broader left-wing network to attack, to dox, to assault, and to make it impossible for our ICE officers to do their job. If the media wants to tell the truth, they ought to tell the truth that a group of left-wing radicals have been working tirelessly, sometimes using domestic terror techniques, to try to make it impossible for the President of the United States to do what the American people elected him to do, which is enforce our immigration laws.
I've been many times on the record, I've said I'm not a fan, Chris and I have talked about this before, of the ICE agents always being masked up. But on the other hand, you know what happened today earlier? There was somebody that went out there, one of these websites, that said that they identified the officer, and then a picture gets out there, and I don't know if that particular person was harassed, but it wasn't the guy. It wasn't an accurate picture of the officer that was involved. But if they find out who this is, I guarantee you, I mean, the guy's going to basically have to go into witness protection. So more ripping of the media here.
The president stands with ICE. I stand with ICE. We stand with all of our law enforcement officers. And part of that is recognizing that you people in the media, not everybody in this room, but many people in this room have been lying about this attack. She was trying to ram this guy with her car. He shot back. He defended himself. He's already been seriously wounded in law enforcement operations before. And everybody who's been repeating the lie that this is some innocent woman who was out for a drive in Minneapolis when a law enforcement officer shot at her, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Every single one of you.
Now, you know, the press had their say also. They asked some questions. One of them, did she deserve to die?
Everything that you say is true. How does being part of that network justify being shot?
Let me set this up just a little bit, because what they're saying is that she's part of sort of an organized network, and I think there's an indication of that that goes out and protests ICE. And look, you know, the one thing, I just remembered this, Sue. I heard this from the woman who shot the video last night, and I didn't remember it until just now. She talked about how the first thing she heard yesterday were whistles. You know what the whistles are?
No.
That's the neighbors. They use whistles to indicate that ICE is in the neighborhood. So they have this whole deal where they,
oh
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that kind of interesting?
Yes, it is.
So that, and that's only been, I've never even heard that reported by any outlet, but I heard the woman who did the interview last night with Aaron Burnett say that, because Aaron was saying, well, tell us the story from the beginning. Well, I heard the whistles, and the whistles indicate that ICE is in the neighborhood. Well, it has to be, unless I'm missing something, and that ICE blows whistles when they're in the neighborhood, that sounds like they have a little system, right? Right?
Yeah.
Little alert system. So then what I'd like to see is I'd like to see a little bit more video of what happened immediately before the SUV pulls in front of her, because
yeah.
You can see her, and this is misrepresented in the New York Times. The New York Times tries to make it seem like she was waving the ICE vehicle through. Oh, no, 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 no. If you watched the video before that, and there are a few seconds that I've seen, she's waving through another vehicle to go past her. Then she moves forward to specifically block the ICE vehicle. She is completely sideways in the street. She's not trying to head in the right or the left. She's actually sideways. And then when the officer comes around, that's when she starts turning the vehicle. She puts it in reverse. Then she puts it in drive. And that's what he fires. So, I mean, some of this, and I've said this in fairness, I think that some of this has been overstated a little bit on the part of the administration. Everyone needs to dial down some of this stuff, but good Lord, let's get the basic facts right.
Get more at 971talk.com.